It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Greene, in for Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. The president who nominated Sonia Sotomayor to the Supreme Court is placing heavy emphasis on her life story. The Republicans who will question her want time to focus on her judicial record, and we'll get an early look at both subjects in this part of the program.
Sonia Sotomayor would be the first Hispanic justice, and in a moment we'll visit the housing project where she grew up in New York. We begin, though, with NPR's Nina Totenberg.
For literally years, Sonia Sotomayor has been a frontrunner for a Supreme Court vacancy if one should occur in a Democratic administration. Indeed, she was on Barack Obama's shortlist before the inauguration, and yesterday the president made it official.
What Sonia will bring to the court, then, is not only the knowledge and experience acquired over a course of a brilliant legal career, but the wisdom accumulated from an inspiring life's journey.
Sonia Sotomayor, born to Puerto Rican parents, was raised in the housing projects of the South Bronx. Adversity struck at a young age. She was diagnosed with diabetes, and when she was 9, her father died. With her mother working 2 jobs, Sonia went to Catholic schools, then Princeton, where she graduated summa cum laude, then on to Yale, where she served as an editor on the prestigious Law Journal. In her first job out of law school, she was a prosecutor for 5 years in the Manhattan DA's office. From there, she went to a fancy private firm litigating on behalf of international corporations. When she was 38, the first President Bush named her to the federal trial court at the recommendation of Democratic Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan. She won unanimous Senate confirmation and early on became known as the judge who saved baseball after she ruled against the baseball owners, a decision that ultimately led to the end of the baseball strike. In 1997, President Clinton named her to the appeals court, but this time, Republicans blocked her nomination for a year, fearing she might be a contender for the Supreme Court. They were right. Yesterday, at the White House, Sotomayor, dressed in a simple black suit, chartreuse blouse, and no jewelry, was all New York, all loving daughter as she looked at her weeping mother in the front row, and all professional lawyer.
I firmly believe in the rule of law as the foundation for all of our basic rights. For as long as I can remember, I have been inspired by the achievement of our founding fathers. They set forth principles that have endured for more than 2 centuries.
The inspiring Sotomayor story and the growing number of Hispanic voters in the country may give Republicans pause about opposing the nomination. But for weeks, conservative groups have been gearing up to oppose any of the names widely mentioned as possible nominees. Yesterday, those groups immediately leaped into action. Here, for example, is Wendy Long, a former law clerk for Justice Clarence Thomas and now counsel for the Judicial Confirmation Network.
I think she is pretty clearly a liberal judicial activist who sees her role as a judge as one where she can use her own political agenda and her feelings and values and to bring those to bear upon judicial cases.
But judges who serve with Sotomayor on the appeals court, Republican and Democratic appointees alike, disputed that characterization. Judge Roger Miner, a Reagan appointee, calls Sotomayor an excellent choice.
I don't think I'd go as far as to classify her in one camp or another. I think she just deserves the classification of outstanding judge.
Former Chief Judge John Newman, a Carter appointee, calls her a brilliant lawyer and a fair-minded pragmatist.
She is everything one would want in a first-rate judge.
And John Walker, appointed by the first President Bush, calls Sotomayor an independent thinker.
While her views are liberal, I don't consider her to be an ideological judge or an activist judge pushing a political agenda.
Few on the right and left have actually read most of Sotomayor's legal opinions at this point, but Supreme Court advocate Tom Goldstein, founder of the leading Supreme Court blog, has.
It's very hard to see what in her decisions conservatives will grab hold of and hold up to America and say, look, you have here someone who is going to be out of control, is going to be an ideologue, who is a liberal activist. For that, they kind of have to look at individual lines in her speeches and try and make something out of them.
And those lines are there. In the coming weeks, conservatives will try to demonstrate that those hints are evidence of judicial activism lurking in the shadows and waiting to be unleashed. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.